The following message is from Sierra Community Church. To find out more about our church, visit us on the web at sierra.church.
It's good to have you here with us. And you know what, if you're watching online, thanks for joining us this morning. Welcome to Sierra Community Church and what is known as one of our many mini-seasons that we have in Tahoe. This is our pollen season, right? So if you're sniffing and coughing, it may not be that you have COVID. It very well may just be all the pollen that's in the air, right? That's why you're scratching your eyes and everything. So hopefully we can pray for rain. One good rainstorm would relieve us greatly, wouldn't it? So yeah, it's funny the things you get amens for. A little bit of rain to get rid of the pollen. Amen. All right, glad you guys are here this morning. Let me jump in with you. First thing I want to, just two quick announcements for you. First thing I want to let you know about is because of the changes that have happened in our community and in the world, it's a little bit harder to communicate with everybody weekly like we'd like to. So the easiest way for us to be able to keep you up to date as to what's going on ministry-wise and even as things change week to week here is if you're on our email list. And if you're not right now and you want to be, the easiest thing to do is all you have to do is send us an email. And that email address is info@sierra.church. And we send out an email once a week. Typically, we have a video update in there that's about 2 minutes long that just sort of gives you a heads up about all the different things that are going on and keep you informed about what you could expect in the coming week or weeks. We have if you go to our church webpage and you scroll down near the bottom, there's a banner in there that's called 15 Minutes With. And what this is we've taken to interviewing our church family. We've got a lot of people here and a lot of amazing people that have just really neat stories about what God is doing or has done in their life. And so we've taken to interviewing folks in our church. And I think we've got 5 or 6 up right now. But if you go down to the bottom, Nick and I did an interview with James. And that is up online. And you can go down there, click on that link, and you can watch any of the past ones as well. If you're paying attention, this next Friday we'll release sort of the extended version of the interview we did with one of our former pastors here, Paul Knoll. So great opportunity just to meet some folks that you may not know that well and hear a little bit about what God's doing in their life. So, all right. This is our fourth week, and I don't know that we ever really do this, but it's just kind of unique to the book of Proverbs, but we're actually doing like a 4-week introduction to the book. And this is the fourth week, and this is the last week of the introduction for you, sort of giving you background and a heads up about all that goes into this book. And it sort of makes sense. If I hope that you've done this, and if you haven't yet, highly encourage you to do this. It's so good to read the first 8 chapters of Proverbs, because it really serves as an introduction to the entire book. And it's really the author, King Solomon, pleading with his son to consider listening to the wisdom that God has given him as a dad. And remember, we talked about this the very first week, that a dad painting to a young man a way to think about wisdom. And he says, it's like there's these two voices in the world that are calling for your attention. And he says they're both very attractive, right? One is the way of wisdom, and the other way is the way of folly or the way of the foolish. And he says although they're attractive, they both do have significant consequences. And the consequences are very different. And that's all laid out in the first 8 chapters. So we're doing a longer introduction. And in a sense, it kind of makes sense because there are very few other books in the Bible that have that robust of an introduction to the material. So this week, we're going to look specifically sort of at the contrast to the idea of wisdom, which we spent 3 weeks talking about what it is, how do you get it, how does it work in your life. And this week, we're going to look at sort of the antithesis of that, which is that word foolish. What does it mean? What does the Bible tell us, and what does Proverbs specifically tell us about people who are fools? So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along in your Bible, if not, hope you got notes. If you don't have notes, you raise your hand. Rex or Nick would love to run around and pass out notes because we did print them out. If you're following along online, if you go to our church webpage, you click to the sermons worship section, we actually have all of our notes in there as well, and you can click on those and follow along via our notes as well. Let's pray. Father, thanks. Just whether we're here in person, and technology gives us a pretty neat opportunity to be able to continue to work through just weekly teachings every week. And so thanks for the privilege of being able to do this. And we want to do this not because we feel like we're compelled to go to church once a week, but it's because we want to gather together with other people that we know love you and want to allow your Spirit to guide our lives every day of the week. And so I ask, Father, that the Scriptures, which is a gift to us, it should be a jewel in our lives that we treasure. And I ask, God, that just this morning as we work through this, that we'd be reminded of how true something that was written more than 2,000 years ago is still absolutely real and relevant to us today in the world that we live. And so thanks for the gift you gave us. As we read it and your Spirit works, change our hearts and our minds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we haven't, going through the book of Proverbs here the last 3 weeks, we actually haven't gone through the very first chapter of the book. And so I'm going to give you just a quick tour of it, starting in verse 1, going through 7. And then we'll look at a couple of verses at the end, verses 22, 30, 31, and 32. So it says this in Proverbs chapter 1, kicks off like this. Solomon writing to his son, he says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." Well, why did he do this? "For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what's right and just and fair." Man, is that a, you think about how you want to live in your life, is that a good description of the aim that you have, that you ought to have, that appealing for your own life, being prudent, being just and fair? It says, "For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young." Verse 5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning." Right? So no matter how smart you may think you are, no matter how much wisdom God has imparted to you, you can get more. This is a lifelong path that you put yourself on. "And let the discerning get guidance." Verse 6, "For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise." And this phrase that goes throughout the book of Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now, a lot of people go, what does that mean to fear God? And one of the cool things is next week, that is exactly what the message is about, is how do we understand that phrase? What does it really mean to fear God? The next couple of weeks, we got really fun things that we're going to go through with you, because Proverbs has so many rich topics. Topics about how you use your speech and how it could be used for good or ill, the power of money, the power of sex and sexuality. We're going to cover some great topics in the coming weeks, so I hope you'll be with us, stick with us through the next couple of weeks. So the fear of the Lord is, it's the beginning of knowledge. And here's that word. "But fools," what do? "They despise wisdom and instruction." Verse 22 says this, "How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will the mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge?" And there you get the trifecta of what the book of Proverbs, and in fact the entire Bible, tells us is the path of foolishness in our life. People who are simple, who I'll talk a little bit more about in just a minute, people who mock what is good and right in the world, and people who are fools, and we'll define that in just a minute. Verse 30 and 31 go on to say this, "Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they'll eat the fruit of their ways." Right? "They'll be filled with the fruit of their schemes." This is the law of the harvest, right? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So don't think that you could mock God. If you sow the path of foolishness in your life, that is exactly what you're going to get. And verse 32 says, "For the waywardness of the simple, it's devastating to you and those around you. It's going to kill them. And the complacency of the fools will destroy them." So I want to spend a little bit of time just thinking about, because Proverbs spends a lot of time talking about wisdom, but also spends a lot of time talking about fools and what characterizes their lives. So I want to spend a couple minutes with you this morning talking about that. So we're going to do this in three headings. The first one, if you have your notes and you're following along, the first one is, what is Proverbs and what does the Bible in general tell us who is a fool? The second thing we'll look at is, you and me, what kind of fool are you? Because inevitably, we are all fools in one degree or another. And the last thing is, it's always good when Jesus weighs in on these topics. It's good to listen to what he has to say, so we'll close with that. So the first one is what does the Bible tell us a fool is? And so I think a really good, simple way to think about this is someone who ignores the order that God has established or put in place. And here's the key part of that. And they're people that really ought to know better. So this is why, you know, like, why don't we call a 2 or 3-year-old a fool when they do something that we wouldn't do? It's because they haven't gained knowledge and experience to understand everything there is about making good and bad decisions, right? And that's part of our job as parents, is we want to help educate our kids in those things. But that's why we don't call little kids or people that don't know better fools, because this is a very important part of what the Bible is getting at. It's people that the evidence of what is good or bad, the consequences of those things, still choose to ignore them, right? And so I think we've used this illustration a whole bunch of times. We've talked about how the natural world is full of these laws that God has put in place. We've talked about gravity 2 different times in the last 3 weeks. And it's gravity is not just, it's not just a law, a physical law that, you know, you go, oh my gosh, just that's wonderful. It's not there just for you to admire. It's something that it will be to your detriment and harm if you ignore it. We understand it has an influence on our lives every day. And if we walk and align our lives in line with that law of gravity, nothing's going to happen to us. When we ignore it, that's when we get in trouble. And the Bible says it's no different with the moral and spiritual order of the world that God has put in place. And when we ignore it, it is to our detriment. And see, just if you watch the news, I want you to think about this, about how we when we see the problems of the world and how when we ignore God's moral and spiritual order, we will sometimes put plaster on the wall and think that that's going to fix the problem. You think about the frustration that people feel with prejudice in the world today and how it affects people's lives. There may be some systems in play in our world, some laws that very well may enforce or add to some of those issues that we see with prejudice in the world today. But here's the thing you have to understand if you read the Bible. It tells us that whatever these ills are, if you think they're going to be fixed because of legislation, because we change some laws, that's going to change the problems of prejudice in our world, you're sorely mistaken. Because ultimately, they're a problem of our hearts. And you're not going to legislate people into seeing others, getting rid of favoritism, where we learn to see other people the way God made and created us to see other people. People who are made in the image of God. That no matter what your race or ethnicity or country you live in, we're called to love and honor other people. And that's a problem of our heart, not just of laws. Don't ever think that those problems are going to be solved because we make some votes in our Congress and that's going to solve the problem. See, the Bible says very clearly, when you ignore God's natural or moral or spiritual order, and that affects the way you treat other people, don't think that there are consequences. And don't think that they're going to be fixed because of the government. The government may help and prod, point us to those things, but see, this is why Dan's message last week was absolutely central to our lives. We desperately need a new heart. We desperately need to have God totally remake everything about us. That is the beautiful thing is that's the real hope for the world that we live in today, that our friends and our neighbors desperately need to hear about. And I was reminded very starkly of how moved away from a lot of our Christian origins we are in our world. This last week, my daughter, who's 11 years old, she comes home and she's playing in our neighborhood, and one of the neighborhood friends who knows that we go to church and asks her, says, can you eat pizza? And my daughter's like, well, yeah. And the friend says to her, goes, well, I thought that religious people had different things that they could eat or can't eat. I would have loved to have known the conversation that went on at home about religion and how what it means in our lives today. But we live in a world that really doesn't fundamentally understand what the Bible tells us about God and who He is and what he's done for us and made available to us. We live in a rich world to be able to share with other people this. Really, it's the most important thing you'll ever be able to share with other people. Tim Keller talking about, he has a great definition for this idea of how skewed we are and this sort of definition of the word fool. He says, it's in English, it's a little more than an insult that we use. In Proverbs, however, fools are people who so habitually they're out of touch with God's reality that they make life miserable for themselves and everyone around them. And then he's going to use two illustrations about the consequences. So one is he's going to talk about bodies and relationships. He says, we can't treat our bodies any way we want without consequences. And we can't treat we want and expect to have good friends and a strong family. There are consequences for how you treat other people. And this is the key. He says, this is true of everything in life when we misappropriate where God belongs. He says, there are various forms of foolishness, but the ultimate foolishness is to make anything the center of our lives other than God. Really, really well said. And so this really is the beginning of foolishness, is when we ignore God, who He is, and the place that He's supposed to play in the world and in our lives. Psalms 14 and 53 are such good examples of this because they articulate, they're both short psalms. You can read them when you get home or get bored during my message. They're great thing to read real quick. Just, they're short. And what they do is they talk about the consequences of exactly what it says in verse 1 of both 14 and 53. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And when we ignore God in our life and in the world, here are the consequences. And both those psalms lay that out very well. The second part about understanding what the Bible tells us about being a fool is this. The book of Proverbs it's a great picture of the cause and effects of the world and the moral order that God has established. But Proverbs is not the only book in the Bible. And so here's the problem. If you just think the world is simply a matter of cause and effect, you're going to become really disillusioned and disheartened very quickly. Because I mean, you think about this. You know people that love God, serve Him well. They really take seriously, like Dan talked about last week, the choices in their life every day. And you look at some people that do those things very well. But that's not a guarantee, is it, that your life isn't going to be, you're not going to experience difficulties or trials or circumstantial difficulty. And if it was that simple, you just do the right thing, you get the right thing all the time, that would be great. It would be simple. But we live in a broken world, and So we see that it doesn't always work out that way. And the flip side of that is true also, and this really infuriates us, right? Think about when you see evil, malicious people who act on those things, their lusts drive their lives, and they do dumb things or evil things, and they sometimes get away with it. And even worse than that, we see sometimes that people prosper doing those things. And man, there's nothing that infuriates us more than seeing stuff like that. People get away with bad behavior. But see, the Bible tells us we live in a broken world, and if we always got what we deserved, we would be gone like that. Poof. And so it's really God's grace that he puts up with us and puts up with the world in spite of all of that. And a really good example of thinking about if you just live in the book of Proverbs, you're going to think life is just cause and effect. But if you read the Bible, it tells us clearly that this is the reality of the world we look at. And you think about Job. At the very end of Job, chapter 42, the epilogue in it tells us that God says he's angry with Job's three friends. And he's angry with them because they haven't spoken what's true about God. And the issue there is they're saying, Job, your life is really messed up, buddy. And it has to be that you've done some really bad things. And that's the only explanation for all this bad stuff that's befallen you. And God says to his friends, without telling them the whole story, that's just not true. And that's what the Bible tries to remind us of, is we can't see everything, and not everything that befalls us is a direct result of cause and effect. So the person who just tries to live their life in a simple way, saying just cause and effect, and that's the only thing that matters, you will get disheartened. And that's a path for foolishness as well, the Bible tells us. In order to live well, you have to realize you live in a broken world, and that's why you are gracious with yourself and with other people, because you recognize how true that is. Second thing I want to work through with you is I got a frog in my throat. Actually, I'm looking at the time going, I'm in bad shape if I don't hustle here. But these last two, I don't think are going to take an enormous amount of time. So I'm going to show you some examples right out of the book of Proverbs of the things that very well may, if you're honest, may characterize your life way more than you'd like to believe that are true. But certainly, everybody in here, you're going to recognize and see how this is true of people that you know, and you've seen the destruction of it in your lives. And that's the very warning that Proverbs is trying to give us. So I'm just going to give you four of them really quickly. The first one is, you know people that cannot control their mouths, right? And whether it's slander, gossip, or they just don't know how, when appropriate times to talk are and when they're not. And it gets them in trouble all the time. And just in Proverbs chapter 10, there's four verses almost in consecutive order that talk about this. It says, the wise in heart, this is the key. This is the idea. They're listening. They're more concerned with listening than talking, right? But a fool is chattering, and it's going to come to their ruin. It's that chattering is the unbridled ability to control what you say. When I was in high school, I never went to church a day in my life until I was in high school. A friend invited me to church. I didn't want to go to church. He says, there's girls and sports there. And I said, what time is it and where is it? Because I'll be there. And so I started going to church. And one of the things I'd been going for a while, one of the things, I'm sitting at lunch with my friend who first invited me to church. And he goes, you know, do you have any idea, Noah, how filthy your language is? And I said, what the F do you mean? And he said, you know, you use expletives like they are any other word, and you use them all the time. They color everything you say. And I thought, that can't be true. And I started thinking about how often I was cussing. And it was so unconscious to me that I had no idea how second nature it was to me. And so I asked God, I said, you know, if this Christian thing, I know you care about what I say, so help me to become more aware of this. So I started to count how often I was cussing during the day. And I remember the day I sat down with my buddy and I said, I've only said one cuss word so far today. You know, I was like so amazed. But There are certain things that I think are easy to recognize that are foul or inappropriate in our speech, but just the way we talk in general, it's wise to think about when you talk and what you say, because James chapter 3 is great, talking about the power of the tongue and how destructive it can be. And Proverbs is full of warnings about that. Another way of thinking about this is, what do you do with information? Proverbs tells us there's two kinds of people. It describes them as the simple and the arrogant. The simple is the person who just looks at the latest fad and says, what's everybody else doing? I want to do what everybody else is. So you're swimming with the crowd. That's the simple person, according to Proverbs. The arrogant is the opposite of that, which is the know-it-all. They cannot be told anything, and they really have no desire to listen to anybody else because they know everything. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in, what's this, his own eyes? He knows he's got it. And this is interesting. He says, that person is worse off than the fool. How bad is that to be an arrogant person where you're not willing to do the thing that Corbett talked about 2 weeks, which is you're not only reading the scripture, listening to the Holy Spirit's input in your life, but you're surrounded with a community of people that love you and love God. And you're willing to consider what they say, especially about the most important things in life. A parent recognizes how true this is. If you get angry at every little thing your kid does, they're not going to be able to distinguish between the little things and the really important things. So you really ought to be thoughtful about when you raise your voice or when you make a big deal about something. Anger should be something that very rarely characterizes our life, and we ought to reserve it for the most important things that are wrong or injustices in our world. Otherwise, people can't distinguish about what's really a big deal. And there are people that just, they don't know how to get a handle on the rage inside of them. And Proverbs talks about the dangers of this over and over. The wise, what do? They fear the Lord. This is that phrase again. What do? They shun evil. A fool is hot-headed, and this is so key to this, and yet feels justified. Like, that's right for me to get angry about. Everything is right to be, whatever pushes their button, it's fine to get angry. There's absolutely no discernment and no self-control in that. Verse 17, he says, a quick-tempered person, they're going to do dumb things. The last one I want to show you here is we know that there are people in the world. And sometimes we do this ourselves. There are people that love to do evil things. And Proverbs 10:23 says there's a fool finds, he enjoys, he likes evil. So destructive for ourselves and other people when we ignore God's established moral order in the world. Now, there's one other kind of fool I want to tell you about, and I'm going to let Stephen Colbert introduce this to you, because the Bible tells us there's one other kind of fool that I want you to consider that is a fool that's worthy to be, actually. So listen to what he says here. He's talking about when he used to have his nightly show and what he would have guests on that were religious.
It's funny to talk about this with a priest, because when I would have people on the show who were men of the cloth of any faith, or people who I knew were of at least a deep or an overt faith, if that was part of their public persona that we knew about them, I would often go back to talk to them, and instead of saying, you know, he's a well-intentioned, poorly informed, high-status idiot, I would say he's a fool. And though Christ says, call no man fool, I am one. And so...
aren't we all fools for Christ, huh?
Yeah. Willing to be wrong in society, or wrong according to our time, but right according to our conscience, which is guided by the Holy Spirit.
Man, that's really good, isn't it? From somebody who grew up as a Catholic, wandered away from his faith, recognizes how important his faith is now. And notice what he says there. He says there is a kind of a fool that's good to be. In the world that we live in, society very oftentimes doesn't embrace the natural, spiritual, or moral order of God. And in that case, when you're following God, and notice what he says there. According to your conscience that's guided by the Holy Spirit, and I would add to that his word, and the community of people that love us and love God. He says, when society is going that way, and God clearly says, don't go that way. Society will call you a fool. And that's exactly what Paul draws on in 1 Corinthians 3:18. He says this exact same thing. Exactly what he means, and Colbert gets this exactly right. He says, don't deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of what's going on in the world today, he says, you should become a fool. You should reject that stuff. Everybody else is saying, oh, what a wise person you are. And society is clearly marching away from God and his moral, spiritual order. Don't go that way. And people will call you fools. A simple way to think about this is just think about what God says about sex and sexuality, about having sex before you're married, to try it before you buy it, philosophy in the world. That's the way the world works and lives today and says this is the right way to live. And clearly what the scripture tells us about sex and sexuality is in most regards in opposition to a lot of what we see today in popular culture. And people will, don't be mistaken, people will call you a fool if you reject the wisdom of the world today in a lot of ways. But Paul says that kind of a fool, that's a good fool to be. It's always good to see what Jesus has to say about these things. We'll close with this. Jesus' longest extended teaching comes from the Sermon on the Mount. So let's read chapter 5, 6, and 7 together. Got dinner plans? Put them on hold, right? It's interesting because Jesus closes that extended teaching about what the kingdom of God is all about by saying this. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he's like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. He says, the rain comes down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, it didn't fall. Because it had a foundation on the rock. And pay close attention to what he says here. He's going to contrast this in a second. He says, people who hear what God has to say about the world and life. And it's not just intellectual knowledge, but it's the person who allows those things to guide his choices. Right? You adopt those things in the way you live. That's the wise person. He contrasts that with this by saying, everyone, if you hear these words of mine and does not, see, you can hear them, but do nothing with them. That's the fool. See, Jesus is the personification of wisdom. Everything the Bible tells us about wisdom in the Old Testament, it's pointing to the person of Jesus. Both what he says in his teachings and the way he lives his life. The order that he has in his own life. That's wisdom. You're a fool if you ignore that stuff. You build your house. It's like building your house on the sand. You're dumb if you do that. The rain comes down, the streams rose, the wind came, blew against it, beat against that house, and it will fall like a crash. And the bad thing about this is there's a good chance you'll take other people with you. See, the warnings that we get about wisdom and foolishness are not just to be admired as, oh yes, that's whoever wrote that stuff is so smart. It's to remember, it's central to living the life that God desires for you and I to enjoy when we line up our lives with his moral and spiritual order. Lord, thanks for the opportunity we had to get together and talk about these things today. It really is. I hope that we can see just a lot of this stuff. It's really not that complicated to see how sin and rebellion is devastating to our lives and can be to other people around us. And yet you have clearly, in your goodness and your grace for us, you haven't squished out the problem, because in squishing out the problem, you'd squish us out. And so thanks for the new heart and new life that you offer us. And when we embrace that, we can, your spirit and your word can guide us into a whole new way of enjoying the good life, the rich life that you intended for us to enjoy. Thank you, Father, for that. And thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the goodness and the grace and the forgiveness that he offers. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We're going to sing another song here, and we've got some ushers on either side of the door for your offering. We'll always have the box, and you're welcome to use the online giving button at the top of our webpage. Thanks for your faithfulness and your support. Have a great week, everybody.